Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Mr. Davis and I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swamp Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. How the devil are you?
I am okay. I've developed a taste for overly contrived TV game shows. And a new one debuted last night. Did you happen to catch on BBC One at 9 p.m. prime time? It's the new event game show of 2021. Gordon Ramsay's Bank Balance.
I didn't know, but I did just log on to the iPlayer because I was looking to see if a movie was on there for a podcast I'm appearing on. And the movie I was not was on there, but I did see a big old advert at the top of the thing telling me to watch Gordon Ramsay's Bank Balance. How was it?
What movie was it?
Planes, Trains and Automobiles. That or The Naked Gun, neither of which are available on the iPlayer. Sometimes they are, like, sometimes you just find that they are. They're not on Prime or Netflix either, so I'm going to have to rent them off of Amazon.
Isn't it so inconvenient having every film ever at least available from your flat or house? I remember the days.
£5
for 30 quid. That was the best I could hope for from Virgin. Virgin Megastores or HMV.
I love that. Go to HMV and getting 5 DVDs for 30 quid. You'd find your 4 and you'd be like, what's my 5th going to be? And I've got one of 4 options. What's it going to be? Or sometimes you get your 4 and you're like, there's no other DVDs I want. So I'm just going to have to pick up a random one here. I'll just pick this.
It looks like it's Romeo Must Die again. Add it to the collection of Romeo Must Die copies I have on Divid. So Gordon Ramsay's Bank Balance is all over the place and unwatchable at the same time. So it's not the good kind of stupid, which I now think is topped by Danny Dyer's The Wall. Mm-hmm. Oh, if these walls could talk. Oh my God, no. Wall. Give me an answer. Give me a good answer here. Come on. That's Danny Dyer presenting The Wall. Gordon Ramsay's Bank Balance. Are you aware of the format?
I am not aware of the format, no.
Yeah, I watched half an hour of it. I'm still not that aware of the format. So it seems like there's a central pivot on which a sort of table hangs from the middle. It's balanced in the middle and it's got 4 points coming off of it. And you've got to balance blocks on various levels on those little arm bits that come off by answering questions within a time frame.
So it's wordplay of bank balance.
Well, what I think happened here, and this is why I had high hopes for it, is because they so obviously started with the title of the show and worked backwards to create a format.
Yep. I run a quiz show that aired on Channel 4 like during the day, and they only ran for one series. They had a very, very cool concept that was called Win It, Cook It, which was basically like you would play for the prizes that you would play for would be ingredients, and then you would have to make a meal at the end with those ingredients, and the person who made the best meal at the end would be the winner, right? And then they, and I believe they completely bollocks the format. I can't even remember what it was now. But it was just basically just like, in the end, you just played for points. And then occasionally Simon Rimmer will you know, make a meal. And it's not really about the cooking anymore.
I think that's it. You need, the best shows are the ones that are very, they're not very confident in their own premise. Because Gordon Ramsay's bank balance was the same thing for an hour. I got bored. So I had to turn it off. Whereas like other shows like The Wall, they're like, there's not actually that much to this idea of The Wall. So they've got rounds. They've got like three rounds and they're all something different. Oh, this one, you've got to go round the back and we'll ask you questions that you cut, but you don't know how much they bet, like that even impacts anything. But yeah. Yeah, so that's my review, folks. I know that's what you tuned in for, not the big show reaction or AEW Dynamite. Gordon Ramsay's bank balance, it's a hard miss.
My question would be, is it more or less complicated and complex than Golden Balls with Jasper Garrett? Which for me, like that for me is gimmick. That's the pinnacle of like,
yeah.
this idea has become too complex for its own good. Which is like, you get a load of golden balls and then you reveal, like you flip up the golden balls to see how much you've got. And you then have to like convince the people on your team that you've got the best golden balls and not be eliminated. Like, so you open up like the front two. And then you say like, oh, on my back row, I've got a 500 or I've got a 1,000 or, and this one's just a £1. But you want to keep me here because I've also got the 1,000. And then there's like an elimination thing until the end of it when you open up those balls. And then at the very, very end of it, when it's down to just two people and you've kind of like, I think it's like a question and answer thing. And you determine actually how much you've got available at the end. And you decide then whether you're going to split the money or you're going to steal the money. So you get given two balls, one says split, the other says steal, and then you have to decide amongst yourselves, like you chat, and then you have to decide if you both say split, you split the cash, but if one of you says steal, then you take all of the money. But if you both say steal, then everyone goes home with nothing.
The prisoner's dilemma. Like
every round just added on another gimmick on top of the gimmick that was already there. Terrific television.
And it doesn't, like, none of it comes back to golden balls either, does it? Apart from that, it's in golden balls.
Before we get into the show itself, I did have this email, which was sent to the wrong email address. So I do want to point out, but I'm going to read it out anyway. So just watched Ollie's Big Show announcement breaking news video and thought I'd drop you an email, which you could pass on to Ollie in the AEW review. I usually watch AEW on a Saturday morning, then listen to the podcast over the weekend. Been a nice constant over this strange year. Thank you for that. Anyway, I was watching Ollie's review with low production. I think those were his words. But I got distracted because all I could think of is that the Hob. Take care, dude. And thank you.
The Hob finally made its Wrestle Talk debut. One more Hob. Yeah, you're right. That was the Hob. I was happy with the production, actually. When I watched it back, I was like, damn, my little camera's good when I run it through a particular bit of software. But I didn't know until it sounded fine when I pre-upload. But when I uploaded, it seemed like it was popping all over the place. I was disheartened. So I'm sorry, folks.
That's all right, mate. I thought it was very, very good. I watched the whole thing. Anyway. Well, let's get into the AEW review itself, because let's talk about the Big Show, Paul White. He is joining AEW, but what the heck's he going to do? Here's the show.
What's the Big Show going to do? What's the Big Show going to do in AEW? Big Show signed to AEW. The hell's going on? I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. We're going to talk about the big show stuff first, and then we'll get into the review of AEW Dynamite. But I just need to make sense of this. I feel like wrestling is trying to break my mind this week. Miz becomes WWE champion in 2021 on Sunday, and now the big show has signed with AEW.
Well, I know what your reaction is, Mr. Davis. I know because of your AEW bias, it's okay that AEW have signed this old person and are making him the AEW champion. So it's absolutely fine that they've done it because you've just got bias, you big bias bastard. Hypocritical Ollie Davis, excited for the big show, burying Goldberg and The Miz. Tisk, tisk.
Someone commented on my news video. Oh, am I coming through okay, by the way? I seem quite juddery.
No, you seem okay.
Someone commented on my video. Oh my God, AEW is just becoming the old WWE people's promotion. And I couldn't resist. I commented back. I think WWE is the old WWE's promotion.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's get some thoughts out on the table. Because, I mean, I can actually show you what my initial reaction to this was.
Because, yes.
So, have you seen this?
No, I haven't. No, I'm looking forward to it.
So, we were recording our Patreon podcast, Wrestle Talk After Dark, which is when a group of us from the team just get together, and we have a few drinks, and we just chat, basically. We just chat for a couple of hours. People ask us questions. We answer them. It's a grand old time. And the news that Paul White had signed with AEW broke while we were recording. So we've got our instant reactions on camera, which I'm going to play for you right now.
Not to interrupt or anything, but I have just been giving some breaking wrestling news from Mr. Louis Dangle, which is now going to be the lead for Wrestling Daily tonight. Big Show signed with AEW.
What?
What?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said.
What?
No.
AEW just put out a tweet. Welcome to the team at Paul White. Paul White is all elite. He's there. What? He's there.
Ooh.
Why?
What?
Yeah.
Could they not get Shaq? Is Shaq not Shaq not doing the match anymore?
Hold on.
White, what is it, Shaq against
White,
Big Show?
White joins commentary. Commentary. For new YouTube extension, AEW Dark Elevation. That's what he's going to be doing.
Even so?
Yeah, I know. Still nuts.
That's crazy. Though, right? I didn't even know he'd left WWE. He was with... Yeah, not there that long ago.
I thought he was on a Legends contract still.
Yeah. Maybe they brought him to have that match with Shaq that he was supposed to have.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is, he can sign for commentary all he likes. He'll probably have a match at some point. He's Big Show.
Of course he will.
Yeah.
What?
WrestleMania main eventer.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. My reaction was, what? It was basically what? Was just
that was mine too. I saw the news on my phone and I looked at it like for 30 seconds, just going,
yeah,
like, trying to make sense of it. Not that my mind was going, this isn't real. It's like my mind wasn't even processing what was on the screen.
No.
It was very bizarre. A lot of people, when I put up the news video yesterday, the breaking one I did, a lot of people were like, oh, I clicked this because I thought it was a joke video, like a sketch. Because we say, like, you know, so-and-so to AEW confirmed all the time. They just, for some reason, thought we'd made a skit. But no, Paul White, obviously not the Big Show. He won't be using that name, which means we have to bid farewell to his entrance music. Can't use that in AEW. But yeah, he'll be Paul White in AEW. He will be wrestling. It says in the press release he will return to the ring, and Dave Meltzer has also said he will wrestle some. So there's obviously plans there. But the chief thing is for AEW's new show, it's going to be on YouTube, going to launch on March 15th. This was announced on the press release, but a few more details were given on the episode of Dynamite. Every Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, on their YouTube channel. It's called AEW Dark Elevation. It's not Evolution, which I keep trying to call it.
No, it's, like,
it's a wrestling thing. It's Evolution.
Yeah, so like it was, I did not see this coming. As I said, like in the podcast, that like if you'd have had this down as your wild prediction for 2021, I would have said that's too wild. Like it's because I always figured he would be a WWE lifer. He's there on a Legends deal. He'll be an ambassador for the company forever and ever and ever. They'll tot him out for Legends night and just be like, hey, look, it's the Big Show. It's the world's largest athlete, this, that, and the other. And yeah, he is instead gone to AEW to be a commentator slash part-time wrestler, I guess.
Yeah, so that's obviously if you want more details on why he left WWE, how many people knew, go to... go and watch the two videos I made over the last day on the WrestleTalk channel, not the WrestleTalk podcast one. But in terms of what he's going to do here, was he announced for next week's show?
He was. I think they said they were going to have more details because this was a taped show. So they didn't have anything like they couldn't like, you know, bring him out in front of the crowd here. But because his new show is debuting on the Monday, I guess that's why they did it as the press release, as opposed to have someone
Monday
come out
15th.
For a surprise. Is it? I thought it was this. They kept saying on the show that it's this coming Monday that he's debuting, like the new show comes out. Or did I hear that wrong?
I could have swung.
Maybe it is Monday. Oh no!
AEW Dark.
I could
not
be wrong.
Not Evolution.
I could very well be wrong. I thought I heard them say that it was happening on Monday, which is why I was like, oh, that's why they did it as a press release. If it is
March
like 15th. Monday, March 15th, then I don't know why they didn't just like debut as a surprise. Maybe it's because they thought, well, we've done that with Sting. Let's not do it again. I don't know.
Elevation. Maybe that's his entrance music. Tony Khan's all about buying the pop songs for the wrestlers these days.
Got the money to burn. He's just going to have buy all the themes.
Big Show's been in the back, the WWE locker room for a decade, been like, well, you know, I don't even like my entrance music. I just want U2's Elevation to be here. So he's, that's going to happen on the 15th. I guess I don't mind if it's not a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it got everyone talking.
It got everyone talking. You can kind of promote other stuff. I think the reason they did it now, as opposed to announcing it on the tape show, which you couldn't have done anyway, is to build some intrigue into next week. Because, of course, you've got Cody versus Shaq. Big Show has wanted to wrestle Shaq forever. And he keeps on getting in shape every year to do it at WrestleMania. And now that's obviously not going to happen. So why not do it in AEW? Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, what's Big Show, Paul White, going to do in AEW? My first thought is, initially, breaking through the canvas of this tag match and throwing Shaq through a cage wall.
Oh, no, he's going to cost Cody the match. He's going to be on Cody's side, but cost him the match. Big Show. Okay, so let's address then the criticism, because I've actually had a fair number of people message me on the old Twitter machine calling me a hypocrite, despite the fact I've not actually shared any thoughts on Big Show signing with AEW outside of me saying what a couple of times. Are people saying like you're a big hypocrite because you've been burying WWE for having Edge as a champion, which I haven't, and about Goldberg coming in for title shots and The Miz being this 10-year-old character that's still doing the same thing, this, that, and the other, but you're fine with it being the Big Show. And it's, for me, it's the same argument as Sting, which is the second that Sting wins the AEW championship, then it becomes a problem. Like the second that Sting pins Kenny Omega for the AEW title and derails all the momentum that he's got as champion, that's when it becomes a problem. If Sting is like the right guy and the champion is at the right time to lose their belt, it's a different story. But at this point, like if Sting came out on Dynamite next week and won the title from Kenny Omega, that's an issue. And I think that would be a terrible, terrible thing to do. At the moment, Sting appears to be used to try and get Brian Cage and Ricky Starks and Darby Allin over. That's a great use of Sting in AEW. Same with Taz is being used a great way to elevate guys. Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson. They're all being used to like elevate and make these younger guys seem new and cool. Same with Jake Roberts. And I would think, based on how AEW's previous track record, that will be the role that Paul White is also going to fill. If Paul White debuts after Revolution and beats Kenny Omega for the world title, then I'll be like, it's not the move I would make, and I don't think it's the right one either.
Yeah, but Tony Khan pays us that money. Yeah, so I think that's a great idea if you want to do it, Tony.
But Ollie, you said yourself that those paychecks aren't coming in as strong as they once were, which is why you keep scoring the show 3 out of 5 at the moment.
I think people who, was it John Moxley who said in a recent interview, why do people go on Twitter? Who was the last person who said, wow, that was fun going on Twitter? We've had that sort of, not backlash, but yeah, it's the main criticism leveled at me in the WrestleTalk news videos when I review AEW or criticize WWE for pushing people past their prime. And yeah, like Luke said, I think it's very, very clear that there's a difference here. When it's Undertaker or Brock Lesnar or Goldberg or Miz, and they're being pushed into the title picture and sort of suffocating the rest of the show, when your main event scene has an average age of 42, then there's something wrong there with the company. Because it's not just that, that explains why I feel like WWE is so stale a lot of the time, because it's the same people we've had for decades. Whereas AEW, like, you look at that and it's such a young company. You look at the main event, you look at the big matches that are at the pay-per-view next weekend, and they're all young stars, and they're making a real concerted effort to build even younger stars than them. That's why they've got the second show on AEW Dark. Now, another criticism, it's sort of one of those things where you can never please everyone, because another criticism that's often leveled against AEW, even now, is that they don't have any big guys and that they're just a vanilla midget company. But, of course, they've got Powerhouse Hobbs, they've got Brian Cage, they've got Lance Archer, and
Wardlow.
While Lance Archer is, you know, he's actually an older wrestler. I think he's at least in his late 30s.
Lance Hoyt on an episode, yes, on a podcast recently.
People like Hobbs and Wardlow, they're very much young, exciting talent. Who's the other guy? The hairy guy. Ah, I can't remember his name. Komuroto. Nick Komuroto, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Big guy. And they're really, really exciting. Now, it's quite hard to teach wrestlers how to work if they're not the same body shape as you. Like, there's a reason it's so hard to train women. It's because there's not enough female trainers out there. Like, so it's that they're always at a bit of a hindrance there to get at the same experience level. So I got to imagine it's going to be the same with Big Show, who has worked his entire career very successfully as a big guy. He is going to be invaluable backstage to tell Wardlow, to tell Hobbs, give them advice, feedback on how to carry themselves and improve in the ring, and make sure you don't, because I think if it's Kenny Omega and the Bucks telling them to do stuff, they are going to like do all the spots. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think it's good for Big Show to come in and rein that in a bit. Plus, he's mostly going to be on commentary. And surely this is building to when the commentator starts a feud with the lippy guy in the ring. And I love those angles. One of my favorite all-time feuds is Jerry Lawler versus Taz, even though that was a disaster. I really liked it as a kid when Jerry finally stood up from his table and went after and defended JR.
We've got a debut of Peen Davis then on the WrestleTalk podcast in the video version at the very least. There was a criticism that was leveled against you in the comments. I just wondered there. There was like the AEW Revolution card isn't that young. It's got Sting on it. But it's, you know, it's and Matt Hardy.
Average age. They're all being used to build younger guys.
I know. Also, Sting is part of a match with 3 other people who are a lot younger than Sting is. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. Like, you just got someone who's got invaluable, like, resources to be able to provide to these young guys. And a lot with the legends do have, like, Jake Roberts is there to provide, hey, man, did you know what I did back in that? And like, this and the other thing can tell people what it did. Tully's the same with FTR and Arn Anderson. You're training the next group of stars. And that's what Big Show is. He's a Paul White. He's a legend. He's a legend of this business. And if he gets in and he has a couple of showcase matches on pay-per-view, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. If he has a lengthy run is when it becomes maybe a bit of a problem, because I think he's, you know, borderline retired at this point. But coming out for showcase matches isn't the worst thing in the world, especially if it's designed to get younger talent over. Also, we've now got the possibility of getting that Paul White Shaq match, which we've been like teasing for probably about 20 odd years that we've been teasing that match. They even teased it at WrestleMania once and they still didn't bloody do it. And we've also got the option of having Paul White versus Marco Stunt, which surely just from a like from a visual aspect has got to be done at some point, right?
Do you want to see them fight or do you want to see them be a tag team?
Oh, hello, mate. Oh, suits you. That does sound good.
Yeah, so I think what will he be doing? I think commentary right out the gate. I think he probably has a little angle with Shaq next week, but you don't do that match for a long time. Maybe that's a double or nothing tease. I mean, still waiting for that Mike Tyson follow-up. I don't know.
Dude, I'm still waiting for the bachelor party. They've got married now. What happened to Billy Mitchell?
And then I think, yeah, Big Show, commentary mostly, use him backstage, use that wealth of experience, get him out there. Because, like, why wouldn't you sign the Big Show?
If you have like, the option,
yeah, exactly. Imagine like all the people are like, oh, AEW signing just another former WWE star. But if you're in Tony Khan's position and Big Show approaches you and is like, hey, I'm finishing up with WWE. They're not using me the way I want to. We can't agree on money. What can you offer me? Like, why would you not, just for the guy's experience, the name value, to go around, do press, interviews, promote the company? It's not all about, oh God, he's going to get in the ring and automatically win a title. That's a very WWE conditioned way of being disappointed and frustrated at older wrestlers, because there is nothing wrong with using veteran wrestlers. It's a good idea to get over the next generation of talent. But I think a lot of people, right, like understandably so, have seen how they're booked in WWE and just immediately see anyone who's over the age of 45 and go, oh God, this is the worst. It's going to bury everyone else on the roster. When that's never the way it's been done elsewhere. It's always been a more holistic, future-focused thing.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, man. But maybe that is just bias. Maybe it's just me being another bias, hypocritical bias, whatever it is. You know, could be.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, let's get some Ultra Chats in. Omega Chats. My apologies, because it is AEW. Get all your Omega Chats into WrestleTalk.com/support. Rhys Johnson here. Afternoon, lads. Another two great episodes of wrestling with AEW and NXT. Big show to have a strong push? Maybe AEW champion or a role like Sting's. And Cameron Grimes' new gimmick is really funny. Check it out if you haven't already. Have a good day, lads. Yes, it's the best.
It's the best thing on that show outside of Adam Cole and all that. But yeah, I don't think Big Show's going to have a strong push on AEW. I really don't think that he is. Like, this isn't Sting. Like, this isn't Sting coming in and being like, oh, no, I can still go, by the way. I'm medically cleared and I want to have another run and try and get this Darby Allin kid over. I think this is more like a sporadic use of things.
Yeah, I think max one match a year. And if he's having more than that, yeah, I'm wrong. But I think AEW and the people who run it are smart enough to not overexpose the legends when they can't really do more than one match a year. New Punk Rants, so excited for Elevation. Excited for the Giant to come home to TNT. So we didn't even talk about that. Excited for Nyla in the tournament. AEW 3 days a week. Yes, please. I'm happy to support everything AEW does. My mental health is happy as a result. That's what matters. Hashtag bring back the juice.
There you go. I mean, like, New Punk Rants, you know, he's looking to bring back the juice. He's looking to bring back Hoovy. I mean, people are saying that, you know, it's becoming WCW all over again. You may as well bring in Hoover to Guerrero at this point. Bring in Chavo while you're at it.
Mr. Burt Wayne, Paul White will feud with Hager, then Wardlow, and the Murder Hawk will retire him. Mm-hmm. So just working with all the big guys. One of the things that Dave Meltzer mentioned was to be very wary about putting Big Show alongside your new crop of big guys. Because Big Show is very big. He's legit big. And people like Hager and Wardlow. Well, Wardlow's big, but he's not actually like massively tall. He's just big compared to the sort of, you know.
MJF,
yeah. It's like that Chris Jericho was a very small guy in Big Show's era, really, back in the early noughties, late 90s. But now Chris Jericho feels like one of the biggest guys in on the roster. So yeah, I'd be very wary about actually doing that. New Punk Rants again. I think WWE fans' criticism is unfounded. It's completely different how both companies use legends and part-timers. Also, I hate the former WWE star criticism. When 90% of WWE's roster is Ring of Honor, New Japan, TNA, it's how talent is used, which is the disparity.
I think that's a very, very fair point, because those people now, like, if you go to WWE, you become a WWE guy. You don't become, like, no one thinks of AJ Styles as an ex-TNA guy or an ex-New Japan guy, because you go to WWE, and because that's the big show, no pun intended, that's, like, the top of the game, you become a WWE guy. So if you leave there, you then become an ex-WWE guy. Also, WWE has been the biggest game for the past 20 years, so pretty much every wrestler on the planet has at one point wrestled for WWE. So, like, it all depends on sort of how you perceive yourself after you get out of them. Like, I don't look at Cody now and think of him as an ex-WWE guy. Kind of the same with Matt Sydal. But Jake Hager, oddly, is someone to look at and go, like, well, he's an ex-WWE guy. So it's how you present yourself once you've left.
Do you think down the line, DC will be like, you'll have people criticizing DC movies. Oh, they're just using former Marvel directors.
For a second, I thought you were going to say people are criticizing DC movies. What? Batman again? Are we just going to just keep making Batman movies?
Hey, why wouldn't you? That's like, why would you not make another Batman movie? Is the same argument as why would you not sign the Big Show?
I completely agree with you.
It's right there.
I completely agree with it. Like, DC have only got three good characters. That's why you keep making Batman movies.
Son of a bitch. Johnny R, I believe they announced Paul to get the initial ratings bump without him being there, though. Some may have thought he was going to show up. Commentating the new show and showing up next week should also give a nice bump. Good business, if you ask me.
I think that might be an interesting point that Johnny's made there, of people wondering if you... I thought he was going to be on the show this week. And so when he wasn't, I was like, oh, that's surprising that he wasn't. So I wonder if there will be people who watch me like, I'm actually really disappointed that he wasn't. I felt like I was falsely advertised.
Hey, I think if you tune in, though, they never said he was going to be on the show. I think that's on them if people get frustrated by that. How could you watch this episode and not have fun? I mean, it was great. Mate S, can't call in the Big Show, but since it's TNT and he might be teaming helping Cody versus Shaq, they can call him the Go Big Show, right? Lol.
The Go Big Show.
I like that. Go Big Show. Go Big Show. It's like a Pokemon. Is a Smith. Who else could you expect to jump ship to AEW? Big Show is such a big miss for Vince to have someone to train big men in the ring. You're correct about older guys having so much to offer, and passing of the torch moments can be epic if done right.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I obviously haven't seen your news today yet, which actually means I don't know your thoughts on this episode of Dynamite. I've been reading so much about Scrabble. You said like there would come maybe more to go?
Well, I think it's weird for a wrestling promoter, but whenever Tony Khan says something's going to happen, you should probably take him for his word, because on Tuesday he did an interview with Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez, and he said there's some big names, old and new, coming in over the next few months that's going to change the landscape of AEW. And I was like, right, whatever, mate. And then freaking Big Show was announced the next day. It's the exact same thing when he was like, we're going to change the wrestling industry. A month later, Impact working relationship. Month after that, New Japan working relationship. So I mean, Rob Van Dam, I think of Mick Foley, Kurt Angle. These are the guys at the top of my imaginary list who I would expect to be at least contacted. CM Punk's obviously the big one. There's an open spot at the face of the Revolution ladder match that will be unveiled on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, which would suggest to me then that is going to be a name. Like, as a surprise, like, it's surely you have to do that as a big surprise name, right?
Mm. Yeah. Matthew McFadden, they have to make a Be in the Elite skit where Dark Order are talking to Paul White thinking he's John Silver. Then John Silver walks in. And everyone's dumbfounded. That's so good. Like, always just have them go. You're right, it's uncanny.
Yeah.
Also, stunt tagging with these hero white needs to happen at least once.
Love that. So good.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, being the Elite, I'm really looking forward to, because Big Show is funny.
Captain Insano.
Maybe that's his gimmick.
He comes in as Captain Insano.
Yeah, because Adam Sandler's got to be a wrestling fan, right?
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Yeah, get him onto AEW. Team these guys up, Waterboy. But also that surely we're going to get a Jericho podcast, right?
Oh, 100%, we're getting a Jericho pod. Yeah, that would probably be out either this week or next week. Before we get into the main review, though, I just want to give a bit of a plug out to Patreon. We haven't got any Patreon shout-outs, but please do head over there, because WrestleTalk After Dark is available now for our $10 and up backers. Also, the poll is open for Andy Datson's Wrestle League Punishment video. And it's exciting times, because it's, you know, there's 2 days left of this poll. William Regal's Real Man's Man is at 40% of the vote. But 1% behind it, 39%, is Carmella's Fabulous. So it really is coming down to, do you want to see Andy Datson do Carmella's Fabulous or William Regal's Real Man's Man? I mean, I know which way I'm swinging on this.
Well, I was talking to Andy about this earlier, and he said that he was trying to think of what he'd do if Regal's music won. So he wrote a list of the things he thought were manly, you know, that would be what he does in the video. And he sent me a picture of the list. And as he read it out to me, it was like, what's that say at the top? Men?
Bricks,
hammers, power tools, lumberjacks, cars, beards. And then he said, leather? I was like, denim? And I said, what? Leather? You think leather's manly? What are you going to have next? Moustaches?
I mean, moustaches are fairly manly. Like, that is, like, Tom Selleck is the manliest of men, and that is because he has a great moustache. Look at all the men from the 80s, like, of WWF. Rick Rude, that's a moustache, mate.
The darts, meat, flannel, whiskey, cigars, beans, black pudding, and the patriarchy.
Some of those are absolutely banging.
Meat and leather are the two that get me. That Andy's there like, how can I be more manly?
How can I be more manly?
I'll get a lot of leather and denim on. Maybe, you know, an Indian headdress. a policeman's outfit, a nice stick.
A hard hat would actually work with the William Regal shtick. just before we do go as well, like to give another shout out to WrestleTalk Aftertalk, we played a clip earlier of us reacting to the big show, but here is probably my favorite moments from this, which I'm presenting pretty much without context.
And then we finish with we've been doing like mini trivias at the end, and I've been absolutely spanking Abby on the quizzes.
Never say that again.
Luke, can you just rewind about an hour and a half to when I called her mummy?
Embarrassing stories. This podcast, and
Luke.
I can't wait for my other half to listen to this.
Luke, can you edit?
24th of February.
Andy, you know these episodes don't get edited, mate.
Like, it's too full.
I don't even add music to it anymore.
That's WrestleTalk canon. I spank Abby every Wednesday.
No, you said it again, mate. See, you could have just not. You could have not said that, but you did.
I was going so red, bless him. And I can see him now trying to work out how to get out of this situation. Mm-hmm.
He's as red as Pete's.
I'll dig my way out.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
I've enjoyed the podcast a lot. So we're recording it after this.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, cool.
There's the editor of WrestleTalk.com, folks, one of the most read wrestling news websites in the world. Get me a banner back up. Let's get into our AEW Dynamite review now. Of course, go over to Patreon as well to check that out. Vote in the poll. Loads of other exclusive stuff. And perks! And get in your Hyper Chats, Omega Chats, whatever they are, to WrestleTalk.com/support. But this episode of Dynamite was awesome. Didn't look very good on paper, I must admit. Like, at the end of last week, I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, there'll be next week's show. And then the big show is on the 3rd of March, because you've got the six-man with Tully. You've got the Shaq versus Cody. It's the go-home for Revolution. But hey, this was a sleeper hit of an episode.
Yeah, and next week's show's got a tagline as well now, which means it's one of those like proper big shows as well. I think it's called like AEW Dynamite Crossroads or something like that. So it hasn't got like fancy graphics, but they kept calling it like Crossroads throughout the show. And then I know it's in the end graphics. They were like, yeah, next week, AEW Dynamite Crossroads, because it's the go-home show before Revolution.
The big go-home show.
The big go-home show.
The go-home show?
Yeah.
Anyway, this episode opened with... most of the matches on this card were squash matches. Well, we had three sort of squash matches, but they were really well done in that it had a lot of back and forth, but ultimately totally got over the person who was meant to win. But the person who did the job looked pretty good too. So this was John Moxley versus Ryan Nemeth. Isn't it weird how if you're blonde in WWE, you get pushed to the moon? If you're blonde in AEW, I think you lose a lot.
I don't know. Kenny Omega's blonde. He's the champion.
He's like a weird Japanese, like anime gray, isn't it? Like, yeah, he's curly weird, locks. Yeah. But Moxley beat Nemeth here, and then he cut an excellent promo. Oh, I got chills down my spine with this. He got a steel chair, sat in the middle of the ring, and effectively said, "I know it's a trap. I know the exploding barbed wire death match is all a scheme by Kenny and Don Callis and Gallows and Anderson, but I'm addicted to violence, to bleeding, to putting my sweat in the ring. So yeah, let's do this."
I love it. Like, so, you know, like, what a hell of a way to go out as well. You know, talking about being a part of this match, walking into a trap. Also, like, being, you know, talking about being addicted to violence kind of harkens to that, the Eddie Kingston promo from last week. And like the connections that those two have, this never, never die feud, but we'll constantly keep trying to kill each other. And like, I really hope they do become a team at some point, you know, when Mox comes back. I also love the start of this promo being like, every day that I wake up without the AEW championship, I think to myself, what do I have to do? I will tell you, do whatever it takes to get my title back. And turns out this is exactly what I have to do, is to walk into this trap. Oh man, it was like genuinely like Sean Ross apparently, like, he said that he got told last week that Mox cuts an insane promo on next week's show. And he was like, yep, turns out that person was very right, because this was a great promo.
I think this is, it's him pretty much saying, though, I'm off for a while after Revolution. You know, that mm-hmm. good way to oh, go yeah. out. I don't, not retiring, but I, you know, like a couple of months, probably more. I know, 6 months, take him off TV. He's earned mm-hmm. it. And he can sort of, you know, then he can come back. But this whole loss that he obviously finds as a character, he finds meaning in having the championship. But now he can perhaps find meaning in fatherhood. And I'm interested to see if he weaves any of that real life stuff into the character he plays when he does return.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah.
After that, we got a recap of his and Omega's feud, which, you know, stretches back to the first Double or Nothing, which is so awesome. We got a Spanish guy called Alex, not Alex Marvez, another Spanish guy, interviewing Lance Archer and Rey Fénix ahead of their main event. This was from last week. Lance was talking about, hey, we're such great partners. And Ray says something in Spanish. It's translated as, you're the worst partner I've ever had. And they brawl.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's a feud, well, not a feud, but like a match that's built on sort of like grudging respect in a way. But yeah, it was quite a fun little way to set up your main event. There's like, we had a lot of recaps like in a row here, because we then had a recap of Sting taking the powerbomb last week. We had a recap of Jericho and MJF getting in the face of Mama and Papa Buck. And then we see them like Mama and Papa Buck arrive with the Young Bucks. Like, so they can take some photos by a production truck. And I was like, I've seen wrestling before. These two are getting killed today. Like, these two are absolutely doing an angle where the heels are going to kill them.
I didn't get it. I was like, oh, that is nice. It worked me. I saw you trying not to say Pat Buck there. WWE producer Nia Jax's nemesis, Pat Buck.
Oh, if only we could bring him in as the third Buck.
After that, we got another squash match that was really just to set up an angle. It was Team Taz of Ricky Starks and Brian Cage versus the Varsity Blondes, Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison. And, you know, this was a good match. Ultimately, Team Taz won decisively. Not much trouble, but they went 5 minutes. They went back and forth. I thought the Varsity Blondes looked terrific here.
They're one of those teams that they're used as an enhancement act on Dynamite at the very least. So they go out there and they, you know, they get beaten up by the more established team, which is what an enhancement act should be doing. But they always look really good when they do it. And like the commentary always really put them over as that. Yeah, these two have got a really bright future in this tag team division. They've got a great look to them. It's very 80s because they've got these big mullets, but they've now got some like cool gear with them. And like Griff Garrison's hot tag is pretty great. Like his hot tag when Pillman got the tag to him and he comes and it runs wild. It's really good. And I think they've got some good fire about them. They are almost like a perfect enhancement act at this point of their careers, because they make the other team look really good, but they also make themselves look good in the process. And Team Taz, look at, like, you know, Starks and Brian Cage look great coming out of this.
So obviously Brian Cage, one with the drill claw. I love that move. Like that, there's a few moves these days I'm just like, oh, I love them. One being the buckshot lariat and the drill claw. Now, Nate, WrestleTalk.com writer Nate, said he passes this truck every day and thinks of me. For podcast listeners, it's a sort of truck on his way to work that says Oliver's drive shaft. I think that's my finisher, right?
The drive shaft.
Yeah, no. Oliver's drive shaft.
Oh, it's even better. I like it. Yeah. Are you also going to be soundtracked by Disturbed and Lynyrd Skynyrd?
What is that, Lynyrd Skynyrd? Wow. Yeah, what's that advertising? I want no part of it. Oh, sorry, I've taken the banner off now.
Do you want me to do it?
I got excited. Yes, please. Okay. So after that match, what happens? The lights cut out.
Darby Allin stuff, yeah.
Yeah, lights cut out, obviously. And a black and white film plays of Darby in the body bag being dragged by a car still. It stops. He gets out. He sits out with the TNT title and he smiles. That was weird. That was unsettling.
People mentioned this, like, you know, when they did the angle where they drove him in the body bag behind a car. People were like, I mean, he used to do that in his student films that he was in on time. I think he enjoys that sort of thing. So, yeah. So the conclusion of it was, you thought you were punishing me, but I actually had a lot of fun doing it.
There he was, pleasuring himself in that body bag.
God, this is the
it's a messy body.
To me.
Oh,
it's so hard to do, but that makes it even better.
Oh, so then Sting comes out onto the stage carrying a body bag. A great bit of misdirection, because I was like, I've seen wrestling. It's Darby in the body bag. But he opens it, and it's Hook. You know, Team Taz's Hook, Taz's son Hook. Taz is on commentary. He stands up. He's like, what you gonna do there? And from the rafters, down comes Darby Allin on a zip line. And he gets into the ring. Awesome. Takes everyone out. Sting hits a Stinger splash on Cage. Then the Scorpion Death Drop. Sting looked good. Darby... you know, zip lines aren't really for me. I think it gives the people in the ring ample time to prepare for you coming there.
He's coming towards us very slowly.
No one touch him. No one touch him until he's unhooked his harness. So, but it was cool. You know, I was sports entertained.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And like, you know, I mean, it was a cool visual. And Sting looked great. He did like the Stinger splash and everything and hit the Scorpion Death Drop. And I said this last week about Sting as well. Like, it's the most I've enjoyed Sting being on the show since he debuted, because we had like a, you know, 6-8 week run, it felt like, where it was just Sting comes out on stage at scene ends. But now we're getting Sting actually doing some stuff. And that's actually adding some fuel to this feud, which I think it really needed. And it's now I'm really hyped for the match next Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in the business of selling pay-per-views, it's the weeks before the pay-per-view that matter most. And, you know, we've been quite vocal. We haven't been very high on this feud because it's been repetitive and it's overexposed Sting. But damn, they got me excited. Mm-hmm. Totally drew me in here. After that, we got Miro, Kip, and Penelope having a sit-down interview with Tony Schiavone. They're still talking about how they're annoyed about the wedding. Miro wants Charles to come back to him, drop the childish act with Orange Cassidy, and Tony is handed a note which has a challenge on for Revolution, a tag match between them all, which Miro accepts by eating.
Yeah, it was done like a high school note. So it was like, will you have a match with us at Revolution? Yes, no. And I can't remember what the third option was. And I just almost infuriated Miro more, because it's like, this is what I mean about this childish stuff. And, you know, and he ate the acceptance. They announced the match later on. It's confirmed for Revolution. So do you think that will be the end of this feud? Because this feud has been going on for a while now.
Yeah, we wanted long-term booking. We've wanted it for years and years and years. And, you know, mostly that's great. But it does saddle you with feuds that have to be structured around pay-per-views. And when the pay-per-views are 3-4 months apart, yeah, I hope it's the end.
There are, like, so I agree with you. And I think AEW have done some great jobs with their long-term book. And you look at, like, you know, this Moxley Omega feud that started at Double or Nothing 2018, wherever, 2019, wherever, it's like a long ass time ago, and it's now like it's culminating here, like, you know, 2 years later, it's culminating. And the thing there is that they've all gone off and they've gone off and had different feuds, but they have still been, so, you know, at each other, but they're now like the feud has peaked and it's gone. But like the problem with Miro and the Best Friends is that this is all they have done. Like, from the very get-go, they've just been in this storyline, so they haven't split off. So the feud has felt longer because of that. It's the bad way of doing long-term storytelling, which is just you tell the story every single week, and it just, yeah, it devalues it.
After that, we got Jake Hager destroying Brandon Cutler here, sort of a bit of a suplex city thing, big clothesline to win, and then immediately downrun part of the Inner Circle. I think it was Wardlow, Santana, and Ortiz. And they all started beating up Cutler. Cutler is the childhood friend of the Young Bucks. So the Young Bucks run down to save him. But, oh, it was a ruse. You cut to the Tron, and there is Jericho and MJF with a bloodied Pat Buck in front of that very production truck that they took the selfies in front of earlier. And a really good visual here. They threw the father into Nick's face painted on the side of the truck, and then into Matt's face as well. And the blood was left on those faces. I thought it was very good symbolism. Jericho's good at this sort of stuff.
It was really smart. Like, you know, beating up the dad, it could come off as a bit of a sort of a goofy thing. And in a way, it kind of was. But I think the visual of the, you know, the bloody handprint on Matt and Nick Jackson, you know, their father's blood on, you know, the blood is on. I thought that actually really, really worked. And I love Jericho and MJF doing the Bucks pose at the end to be like, what heels that we are. And then escape to their car to be like, we are the heels and you are silly. Mm. And then they drove off. And I thought it was actually really good. And I thought it gave the Bucks some really good fire. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do as the big go home angle next week.
Well, they've got a MJF and Jericho are going to do a press conference next week. Mm-hmm. After that, we got a Shaq and Cody video package with talking heads from the commentators. It's weird.
Do you know what? I was thinking about this today. So I get why you've not given Jade Cargill a match, because the whole point is that this is her first match, right? Like, I don't think she has had a match on Dynamite or on Dark, but like, this is supposed to be like her debut. There's a reason why you haven't done Shaq either. Cody is currently injured, I think, or, you know, he's working hurt. But at the same time, Cody's also had a fair number of matches. Why didn't you have Red Velvet on this show winning a match to be like, oh, and look, like Red Velvet is teaming with Cody next week. And so like that puts her over and we can now get excited as a way to promote the show. Because like Red Velvet, as far as I know of watching Dynamite, has lost a bit. And that's it. And like, she's just in this spot now.
But they've already got the women's match on the show.
Oh, I see.
Hey, put it on YouTube. That'll build it up for the TNT audience.
Yep, or on Bleacher or whatever it was that the other ones are going on to.
I was going to say my favorite part of the show, but I bloody love the main event. Mm-hmm. No, you know what? Screw it. My favorite part of the show, Isaiah Cassidy versus Hangman Page was next. I was. Sure, Matt Hardy versus Hangman Page. I like both guys. Sure. That, yeah, you know, not massively excited by it. Then they have the angle last week.
I think it would be a solid 3-star match.
But then they did the angle last week. And I was like, oh, this is really good, actually. Stipulation, money's on the line, real good stakes. And then this week, I just thought they went into overdrive storytelling-wise. So it's Cassidy versus Page. The whole idea is Cassidy's going to work over Paige's arm. So when Paige has the match with Hardy, he'll be a little softened up. And Paige's selling of the arm was just, oh, it was incredible. Because you see him adapt on the fly to this arm that he's always selling. It's not the Seth Rollins sell where, ow, my arm. Now I must dive. Oh, my arm again. It's proper selling where he can't do the moves because his arm isn't functioning. And, you know, he goes for a buckshot lariat at one point and he stops. And in the end, he catches Cassidy midair off a springboard for the Deadeye to win, but one-armed. It accomplishes two things brilliantly. An exciting match where I genuinely thought Cassidy could win at times because of the injury. And it feeds into the story with Matt at the pay-per-view too.
Yeah, this was a home run success for me. I absolutely loved this match. I loved everything they did in this. I loved TH2 being out there as well because, you know, Matt had paid them off last week to beat down Hangman Page. I loved Reynolds and Silver running down to tell Aubrey Edwards that Matt Hardy was cheating on the outside because it's that lovable affableness of Reynolds and Silver to be like, no, they're cheating, Aubrey, like send them away. And Matt's selling of that was great. And at the end of this, like Matt cuts this promo where it's like, you know, I know you've got some new friends. And he comes out with five Allen Angels and like throws him off the stage and Allen crashes through this table. So he's preying upon Hangman's newfound friendship that he's got with the Dark Order. And next week we've got Hardy Party and TH2 versus the Dark Order. And I am really looking forward to that as like a 10-man tag. I think that's going to be a great match because I'm invested in this story.
Yeah, Matt's sort of, he cut a promo not on the Tron or anything. It was just this disembodied voice. And he said, I'm going to take out every single member of the Dark Order you love so much, Paige. And it just took Matt from, okay, you're a douchebag who was trying to get other people's money using that agency contract, to supervillain. And I am, I'm like, I think it's the match I'm most looking forward to, story wise.
Yeah, okay.
It's insane. I can't believe I'm saying it.
Yeah, I'm surprised too, because what the main event of the show is. But I don't think you're wrong though. Like, I think that is a really, really, I'm way more into this match now because of the story that they've done, as opposed to if you'd have just written Hangman Page versus Matt Hardy on paper. I'd have gone like, as I said at the start of this segment, like, you know, so there'll be a solid 3-star match, solid 2.5-star match, good pay-per-view filler. But actually, with the story and everything going on in with it, everything with the Dark Order and Big Money Matt, which, like, for my money, is the best stuff that Matt Hardy has done since coming into AEW, I think is, I'm really, really down for it.
After that, we got Alex Marvez doing his latest inopportune interview segment. Kenny Omega is in a metalworking shop where he's constructing some device.
It's the Moxley elimination device.
I love this.
Yeah.
I thought Kenny was mad scientist, full, looked a bit coked up, you know, that kind. I thought Kenny was excellent. After that, hopefully we get a big thing. The go-home angle, I imagine, will be next week. Nyla Rose versus Britt Baker was next. But before that match, which was very good, sort of a disheartening announcement that it'll be on Bleacher Report, this stream on Sunday at 7 o'clock, like everything, which will have the Japanese bracket final, a six-woman of the sort of other competitors of that leg, and Thunder Rosa and Rio.
Yeah. I was a bit disappointed by that as well. Because I guess then we're going to get the American finals on next week, right? Like, it almost felt like they had enough time to do it all on Dynamite, but almost did it a bit too late to get it all done on Dynamite. So now you've had to sort of like rush and have some matches on YouTube. And I don't feel like AEW learned from, like Tony Khan said that, you know, that I've learned from this sort of thing, but I don't think, it almost feels like they haven't. So I don't know about this. Like I would have preferred for this tournament to have been, you know, I get why the Japanese side of things was not on TV. I totally get that. And having that stuff on YouTube for the hardcore audience, I totally get that as well. But like the American side of things, I think should have been on Dynamite.
Especially the semi-final. I was genuinely, you know, looking forward to that Thunderbird. I'll watch it, but I think it deserves to be on Dynamite. But this match here, Nyla Rose versus Britt Baker, I've got to admit, I wasn't into it early on because Baker was doing a lot of heel stuff. Rebel was getting involved a lot. Britt Baker exposes the top turnbuckle. But man, then they just went into like overdrive for the final sequence of kickouts. Britt kicking out of the Beast Bomb was awesome. Yeah.
That was really good. Powering out of the lockjaw like several times over as well. There were multiple times where I was like, man, they're going to make Nyla tap out. They're going to have Nyla tap out and, you know, pinning Baker and the other. And because like both characters have been pretty well protected throughout their AEW careers, this was one of those matches going like, I don't know who's winning this. And at the end of it, I don't think either one of them looked terrible. Like Britt Baker didn't look bad coming out of this match at all despite being knocked out of the tournament. And I mean, so I think someone sent me a message on Twitter today saying that their theory is that like Thunder Rosa could win the tournament now, like win the title from Shida. And then she's got a ready-made feud with Britt Baker because Baker's got a win over her already. And that's the title program you can spin off coming out of this.
Britt's got a win over Nyla?
Over Thunder Rosa.
Oh, over Thunder Rosa. Oh yeah, I guess you could do that. I'm worried that Rio wins semi.
That's what we said last week, wasn't it? That we said last week on the show that we're pretty sure that Riho's winning this. And I think that she, I don't know, like, I, but that's the other side of that. Again, both characters have been protected so well that I don't know which way they're going to go with this, but which is why I want to see it on Dynamite.
Yeah. If it's Riho and Rose in the final and one of them goes to face Shida, I just feel like I've done that trio. I was kind of hoping this tournament would elevate someone else. But we'll see. This was a very good match.
Really good.
Really,
match.
Really exciting. We got a video package on FTR and Jurassic Express putting over Tully Blanchard as like one of the best wrestlers in the world. Hasn't wrestled since 89. Man, I'm excited for that six-man next week.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And the sequence I'm most excited for is Tully Blanchard and Marco Stunt. I think those two are going to work some absolute magic together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to beat the respect into him. Can't wait for that. They announced the Casino Tag Team Battle Royal for Revolution. We got Bear Country, Dark Order, two combos of the Dark Order, Reynolds and Silver, and Uno and Grayson, Santana and Ortiz, Butcher and Blade, Private Party, Top Flight. That'd be good.
Yeah, they said there's more teams to be announced for it as well. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a packed old match.
Yeah, the winner gets a future tag title shot. Come on, Reynolds and Silver. And the main event was also was a sort of qualifying match to get that one of the spots in the Face of the Revolution ladder match, which if you win that, will get you a shot at the TNT title. And it was Rey Fénix versus Lance Archer. And this was one of the best matches of the year for Dynamite, I think.
Oh, yeah? You loved it, yeah?
Well, there was, at the start, Tony Schiavone said, this is an early match of the year contender. And I thought, I mean, I'm really enjoying it, but, you know, there's been a lot of good TV matches this year. And by the end of it, I was just going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this was a really, really good match because Fénix, spoilers, is one of the best wrestlers on the planet. Like, he is just an incredible, like once in a generation style of talent. Wait, like no one else can do what he does, and he does it to perfection. And he works this big guy versus small guy match to an absolute T. And that's not taking any away from Archer either, because Archer was superb in all of this. His selling of Fénix's offense and, like, you know, Fénix using his speed against him, like almost knocking Archer off his game, because Archer wasn't expecting to have to kind of like combat against this. And like the way Fénix kept kicking out of things, I really did. I truly believed that Fénix was winning this match, like particularly after the Spanish Fly. I was like, yeah, Fénix is definitely winning this, but he just kept kicking out. But eventually Archer put him away the blackout. And I was like, I think that was the right call for me. But they made me believe that Fénix could win. And that's the real like beauty of this match.
God damn that blackout. So Rey Fénix is, you know, I think I've said my piece on Rey Fénix. I think he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. I think it's maybe he's better than Pentagon now. He, like, charisma and... Yeah. And sort of talent-wise together.
We've had this conversation so many times. Like, just you and I have been like, because when we did our 10 Wrestlers of the Year a couple of years ago, and we were like, yeah, I think we need to have Lucha Brothers, but oh, it's Pentagon, really. Like, Pentagon's got to go in the list. And we said in that list, it's weird that Fénix isn't here because Fénix is so good. And I think you're now right. Like, Fénix, for me, has now, he's overtaken Pentagon, even though, like, Pentagon will always be my guy. But Fénix has, like, he has overtaken him. He's now my favorite of the Lucha Bros.
Yeah, but he can do things that no human can do. That running penalty kick on the ropes, that dive through the ropes into the crowd, soaring over the barricade and landing on your feet. The top rope Spanish Fly, although that's probably more Lance, you know, doing the moonsault. Mm-hmm. But he also is just so reckless. And when he took the blackout, you know, you've got to flip over to take the sort of flip bump and you tuck your head. He just waited until the last possible second to tuck his head. And I thought, did he land on his head? And I had to go back and watch it. But, I mean, that's part of being a great wrestler, right? But there's almost a little bit of me that's glad he's not in the ladder match.
But there's a part of me that I kind of wanted Fénix to win because I love him and I'd love to see him in that ladder match, but we've got Pentagon in the match, so I didn't want to have both of the Lucha Brothers in there, which is why I thought it was the right call to have Archer as part of this match. But during this match I was like, oh yeah, but having both of them in that ladder match would be pretty great though, wouldn't it? Like having those sort of like PTSD flashbacks to the match they had with the Young Bucks, where we were like, oh, this almost feels like a couple of steps too far now. But yeah, like this was an incredible main event to this show. Really, really great stuff.
And a really cool finish as well post-match, because Fénix is just destroyed. His eyes are open, but he's looking up. And Lance looks down at him, picks him up, so he's sitting up, and then he just fist bumps him and he walks off. I thought I was badass baby face. Oh, loved it. Really, really, really good, really good stuff. Yeah. I don't know... Should I just make 1 out of 5 average for AEW? And then I've got 5 tiers to go up?
Yeah, I mean, that does help. Yeah.
I thought, I said it was a 4 out of 5 show.
I mean, I also thought it was a 4 out of 5 show. Like, I think watching this show, I don't, considering how much I loved last week's show and I loved this one even more, like, there's no way I couldn't give this a 4 out of 5 show. But the viewers are in agreement. It was, viewers are in agreement. 53% for 4 out of 5 AEW, some with 23% saying it was middle of the road and 17% saying it was All Elite. So it is like very much in that top tier side of things. Yeah, people really, really enjoyed this show. And going through the comments as well, people absolutely loved like the Rey Fénix, Lance Archer match. Really, really enjoyed it.
Well, we'll get into all of your Omega chats now. Remember, we are on the WrestleTalk podcast channel right now, not the WrestleTalk channel. So if you're not already, subscribe here, enable notifications. We will be doing AEW Revolution live reactions in under 2 weeks' time now. It'll be 2 Sundays away, so make sure you're around for that as well. And yeah, also, get all your... Also, get in your Omega chats at wrestletalk.com/support. This is last call. Josh DeDominick's TBS teased Big Show with the Go Big Show. So now all they need to do is make a show called the Go Bryan Danielson Show.
Very good.
Uh-oh. There we go. Come on. I've got a timer that goes off every 90 minutes. Did I tell you this?
No.
I'm tracking my mood throughout the day and my energy levels. Out of 10.
So what are you currently feeling at the moment?
Probably an 8.
I guess 8's pretty good. Was it me? Did I bolster your spirits? Was it the chat?
I was a 10 before. OGP. Yeah, you know me. Now that Big Show is there, I had a random thought. Use the FTW belt as like a reverse cruiserweight championship where it's a hoss fight belt, essentially. I know too many belts and all that, lol. Also, Isaiah was great. He made Brooklyn proud. Hashtag year.
Yeah, it feels like 2001 when the hardcore belt, because Kane won it and like Big Show had it and the Undertaker won it and stuff. There was people like, oh man, like the hardcore division's becoming the hoss weight division. so maybe you can use the FTW belt that way.
Magnus, love the B in the Elite segment between Hangman and Dark Order. How they changed from F Hangman to Hangman Fs is so easy, but brilliant.
Great stuff.
Matthew McFadden, I love how Matt Hardy attacking every member of the Dark Order is only going to bring Hangman closer to the group, but Matt's delusions stop him seeing that. Everything about this story puts a huge smile on my face. Can't wait for when he joins.
Oh, yes, cannot wait. It's going to be so beautiful.
The Zornice, congrats, Ollie. 4 out of 5 puppies survived your AEW rating. I love watching you all excited. Your breaking news videos are the best. Did you enjoy the latest development of the Hangman Dark Order story on Being the Elite? So wholesome. Chat comes with barbed wire and an explosive.
I haven't actually caught up with Being the Elite this week. I'm actually very much behind on Being the Elite. But I'll scrub through so I can find all the Dark Order Hangman stuff.
Criminy Gendel. Matt Hardy almost just like his TNA heel character, and I love it. The imagery of him dragging out 5 with the chair was great. He needs Tyrus as his enforcer again. That was...
The Funkasaurus.
What was he called? The Funkasaurus, yeah. And it would be a perfect faction with a very diverse group of guys. Keep on keeping on.
Yeah, well, actually, it'd be one of those times where I'm like, yeah, I could see Matt adding some more. Like, I don't know if TH2 are officially part of his heel acts now, but I'm kind of into them joining his little crew, his little posse. Mm.
Perseus M. Imagine Reynolds and Silver win the tag team battle royale and challenge the Young Bucks. Whose side would Hangman take?
Oh, he'd have to be on the Dark Order side, right? Like, that's his new group of friends. The Bucks turned their back on him, which is almost why I don't want Reynolds and Silver to win this, because I wanted to have like a lot of Hangman with the Dark Order first before we get to that point. Like, that point to me feels like that's full gear away, like, as opposed to doing that, you know, in the immediate. But maybe I'm wrong on that. I'll tag in. Charles Berg says, I know Miro wasn't talking to me because how could I be so childish? Me, the man who did tasteful Batista dick jokes, the creator of Retribution member Spunk. Oh, wait, I see it now. I like how Omega's idea of building was hitting cold metal with a hammer.
That's like me when I hack. I just type. Hack, 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 hack.
Magnus says, who is the best dad? Sounds like Alan Partridge. Who is the best lord of the ring of the Dancer of the Flies? Who is the best dad, Papa Buck or Ms. Dad? It's Ms. Dad, surely.
It's Ms. Dad. Not even a question.
Alan Metz, good morning, guys. Ollie haters are gonna hate, especially when you're right. WWE is WCW in 2001 and AEW is WWE during the Attitude Era. Not really, but I need some of that Tony Khan money. Jam that jam.
It's sweet good money.
Good Dharma. WWE fans are like your ex-girlfriend. B-Word used to treat me like crap. Now that I'm into that amazing chick, AEW, she can't get that wrong with herself and try to pick on anything from the new girl. 4 out of 5, what has AEW got to do? TK, send me the money. James Handley said, AEW wasted TV time with the Lance and Ray promo. That match doesn't need build. The man who literally throws people through ceilings versus the man who doesn't comprehend gravity. That's it. What else do you need besides that? Jam that jam. Jake Hartley says, a nice Moxley story beat would be, I don't have to win, but I can hurt you enough to stop you being a pro wrestling god.
Yeah, there, yeah. Like have Kenny needs some scars from this battle.
Mm. Leon M. Kizzy says, long-time supporter, first-time Super Omega chatter, Mad Scientist Kenny is my new favorite. Ray Phoenix and Lance Archer were so good. I had to watch the match twice. Loads of love from South Africa.
Yeah, I'll be rewatching that one.
Chris Petro, I may be in the minority here, but while Darby's zipline spot last night looked nice, really felt nervous watching it. I know it's a tribute to Sting's old WCW run, but it immediately reminded me of the other incident. Am I being too soft?
Of course, I imagine Chris is referring to Owen Hart's tragic death. It's hard to not think about that. Ziplines in wrestling, I thought that too, but at the same time, you saw the amount of sort of rigging that was on the guy and harnesses. People use ziplines all the time. That one, you know,
it was a freak accident. It was what it was. It was circumstances beyond control. And I'd like to think wrestling doesn't learn a lot of lessons, but I think that is one of the few times where they really have learned a lesson. And Leon Quashy says, Marvez is inescapable. Best intrepid journalist in the business. Also, surprised that Britt lost her match. The tournament seemed tailor-made for a Shida pay-per-view match.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm surprised too. Your garbage mate. Hot theory coming your way, lads. When Omega eventually loses the title, it will be because of Bullet Club OG interference. Good Brothers will go with the OGs, and the OG Elite, Page included, reunite to take them on in a VP positions in the company on a pole match.
I'm almost with you for a lot of that, apart from the on a pole match stuff.
They're joking. Wrestling Talk sign guy. This is the last time I'll be able to watch live for a while due to an American work schedule. So I just wanted to say how glad I am to have AEW and your insightful reviews. AEW rekindled my love for pro wrestling after many dark years of WWE.
Thank you so much. That really means a lot. And also, thank you for taking that sign to the AEW show. Like, there are certain times when I see pictures that people share of like old wrestling shows. Like, there's a really cool AEW shot that you can find when you Google it. And there's just a sign that says Dance Chopper. And it makes me laugh every time I see it.
Can you imagine all the jams that we'd have everywhere?
All of the Jam That Jam signs.
NS Ogre, biggest difference in my mind after watching wrestling for over 40 years, WWE is sports entertainment with some good wrestling. AEW is good wrestling with sports entertainment spots. Unfortunately, the WWE entertainers have crappy scripts.
Mm. Yeah.
Archie Sawyer, I was thinking who the sixth man in the ladder match might be. AEW like to leave hints, so I thought who would be a good face of the revolution. Ah. And now I think there may be a tiny, tiny chance at CM Punk. I can't think of any other free agents it could be.
I'm not getting my hopes up. Not going to get my hopes up. I'm just going to be cautiously excited for who the sixth man will be.
One does not bring back CM Punk in a multi-man match for the number one contendership for your mid-card title. I won't get your hopes up there. Someone mentioned AOP. Someone mentioned AOP earlier today to me, and I thought, oh yeah, I forgot they're lurking about. Hey, Eric Rowan, there's a lot of free agents, actually. And there's a lot of people from Impact, New Japan, that AEW can work with. The possibilities are really quite large.
I think it'll be Robbie, someone from Impact. Or it'll be like, you know, someone from who's working in the American side of New Japan.
Yeah. Robbie Rudge. Afternoon, Luke and Mr. Davis. Obviously a long shot, but am I the only one intrigued by Wyatt one day making the jump? Imagine Bray Wyatt with all the creative freedom of AEW. Imagine a world where the Fiend didn't answer to a man named McMahon.
I mean, yeah, I completely agree with you, but also Matt Hardy went over there with a man named McMahon not to answer to, and it didn't really work. So there's every chance that it also wouldn't work that way either. It's a different company. It's a different world. Like, the Fiend feels like the Fiend works in WWE, but would the Fiend work in AEW? That's a different question.
James Hanley. I've been disappointed with the tournament. They rushed it. If they had started it just after Revolution with a long build to Double or Nothing, then it would feel like a bigger thing. No, let's put them on YouTube and charge people $50 to join a special club.
I completely agree. Like, you could have started this after the last pay-per-view and spread it out.
Is a Smith. I was watching some random old WWE clips. The last two versions of the Intercontinental title and the old US title are so much better looking than the current versions. Also prefer the old tag team and world tag team titles, Jericho and Show Miz with all the belts.
Well, I mean, I completely agree with you, particularly on the tag titles, because I hate the current tag title design. They're so rubbish. They look proper naff. I'm not the biggest fan of the IC in the US one either, but I'm not. It's not like I love the... Because my IC title is the world one with the black strap, the Jericho the belt, the one that China has. Like, that's my IC title. But man, and the tag titles in that era as well. Man, the new tag titles absolutely suck. Hate them so much. I'll take over these last few chats from you. Sam Mort says, hey guys, do you think The Miz could lose the title and attack Morrison afterwards, as they said they owed Lashley for John Morrison costing him the US title? Miz versus Morrison at Mania.
Oh, I think it's the tag match with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. I'm not into that feud.
I pitched Ollie my other fancy booking of this, which isn't that, because we've been thinking it's Bad Bunny versus Miz, but now that Miz has got the title... What
don't say it.
Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest. Priest turns heel, and it's for the 24/7 title at Mania.
That was a private conversation we agreed not to bring into this world, Luke.
William Tallman, a very lovely man. RIP question mark. Absolutely. Yeah, really, really shocking news. And Nate S. Says, did you see Finn Juice teaming with the Good Brothers next week on Impact? It is happening. I still can't believe it.
I thought they were facing each other.
I don't know.
I thought Finn Juice and Good Brothers were feuding, but maybe they're, how will they coexist? But yeah, it's crazy. What a great team to put over there as well. They live in America. They're two guys that would really benefit from getting more and more experience. Although bloody hell, Juice Rob, like, Juice is there now, easy.
Who is Alec Baldwin to you?
Yes!
Andrew from Sacramento, age 24. Alec Baldwin and Jim Carrey to me are from the movie Fun with Dick and Jane. I was around 8 or 9 when I saw the film.
That's a Farrelly Brothers movie.
Interesting one to this. Ralph Macchio, to me, is Cobra Kai, not the Karate Kids. I mean, it's technically the same thing, I suppose. Mike Myers is Austin Powers. Justin Timberlake is a singer because of Sexy Back. Eminem is a rapper because of the song Ass Like That. And Will Smith, to me, is Shark Tale. Jack Black is School of Rock. Thanks.
Will Smith is not Shark Tale. Will Smith is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
He sure is.
That's outrageous. I had a... Should we just say, you know, because some AEW fans only listen to this podcast.
Let's not.
They won't know what we're talking about.
No, let's just keep reading these emails out. We actually got a load of them, so I wanted to try and get through as many of them as possible. Craig, hello, Luke and Mr. Davis. My name is Craig. I'm from Canada. I'll always relate to Alec Baldwin to a few movies, the first being Beetlejuice. The second would be Mission Impossible.
I never think about Alec Baldwin and Beetlejuice. But yeah, he's like just a generic... happy couple person, is it? It's all about Michael Keaton, that film.
Jim Carrey will always be Fire Marshal Bill, and female bodybuilder Vero DiMilo from In Living Color. Mike Myers is Austin Powers. I always loved how he said, "Danger is my middle name." So much so that I gave my son that same middle name.
What? Your son's middle name is Danger? That's cool.
And he also adds that he's happy that WWE took the belt off of Drew. I was happy of him doing the nice guy act. Aaron says, I'm 33, so similar age to you, but Alec Baldwin to me is the boyfriend from Notting Hill who makes Hugh Grant take out the trash.
What? I don't even remember him in that role.
I don't remember him being in Notting Hill either. I don't remember Notting Hill that well. Alec, that's about the name on there. Alec,
I remember Baldwin. The grey pants. Yeah. I remember being, I think, in Julia Roberts.
Pandora. I never got to see her box, though.
I remember
the
person who won't eat vegetables because they had feelings too. Can't remember what they were called. Fruitarians, maybe.
Mike Myers is Austin Powers. Jim Carrey is Ace Ventura. I know the legal lockdown isn't a thing anymore, but I finally become a pledgehammer just in the hope that it will move me up from last place. Cheers.
You're out of luck. But thanks for becoming a pledgehammer.
Indeed. Oh, Google. Sorry, our email, because it's so well protected, has just logged me out, which makes me think that someone else is trying to use it.
While you're doing that, I could tell you Andy Datson's, because he messaged me shortly after the podcast went live. Alec Baldwin, to him, is Team America.
I was going to, that was mine. That was the answer I was going to give, is Team America.
It's a great show.
Essentially, he's the baddie. And I was thinking about this morning. It's also South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Hey, Alan, do you know what's bad about being a Baldwin? Nothing. And then the Canadians bombed them. You missed me.
He also says Mike Myers as Shrek. That's okay. Andy's younger. Mm-hmm. But weirdly, Jim Carrey to Andy Datson is Bruce Almighty.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Because that was, like, to me, that's the return to comedy, Jim Carrey. Because he had we talked about that 94 run and him being that Jim Carrey character. But then he went off and did The Number 23 and The Truman Show, and he became this serious actor. And then when he did, it was like that, and he did Me, Myself, and Irene. Mm-hmm. And Fun with Dick and Jane. That was like, that's the return to comedy, Jim Carrey. That's my era of him anyway. Ryan says, I'm a longtime viewer of the podcast, listener of Rest Talk. I want to say a big thank you for all the content. Got me through some tough times. Listening to your recent Raw review, I figured I would chime in as an 18-year-old. So
Gen Z up in the house.
And he says that. Yeah, he said, I apologize to Ollie in advance, but to me, Alec Baldwin is simply Haley Baldwin's dad.
Who's Hailey Baldwin?
He writes here, Justin Bieber's wife. I didn't even know that Justin Bieber was married.
Hailey Baldwin. I'm familiar with Hailey Baldwin. She's a model. I did not know.
Justin Bieber. Since 2018 as well, but yeah. Oh, no, hang on. Like, her dad's Stephen Baldwin.
You got the wrong Baldwin.
You got the wrong Baldwin.
But Stephen Baldwin is the connoisseur, the Baldwin connoisseur's choice.
He's my Baldwin because he was in Biodome, and I love Biodome.
Yeah, he's also in The Usual Suspects. Is he in The Game as well, or am I making that up?
I don't know. I'm just Googling now. Yeah, there is Biodome. He's also in. Oh yeah, he was the replacement Barney Rubble instead of Rick Moranis in the second Flintstone movie.
Oh dear.
Let the game begin.
No, I'm thinking The Game, the David Fincher one. Although he starred in Shark in Venice in 2008. Oh, I'm getting on that. I'm getting on that this evening.
And to him, Jim Carrey is the Grinch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what a performance. I don't really like it, but what a performance.
Andrew, hey guys, love the topic of actor association. Here is mine. I'm 27, so I'm a younger millennial. Alec Baldwin is just Alec Baldwin. I know him by name, but I've never seen him in anything that's left an impact on me.
I think that's one of Alec, but there's like that. There is that level of actor where you're like, well, I know you're famous for being an actor, yeah, but I just know you from talk shows.
But that's what I mean. Like, so that's why Alec Baldwin to me is South Park and Team America, because I've not watched 30 Rock.
Mm.
So like that, my Alec Baldwin to me is a guy that Matt Stone and Trey Parker make fun of a lot.
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah. And, you know, there are films I've seen him, but like our friend Andrew here. Jim Carrey is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh,
Mike
yeah.
Myers is Austin Powers. Okay, here's one for you. Adam Sandler.
Waterboy. That was a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, he's right here. Big Daddy. I think
yeah, that's fair.
Be The Wedding Singer. That'd be the first. Like, if you'd said Adam Sandler to me, that'd be the first one coming to the top of my head. Ashton Kutcher. This is an interesting one. Ashton Kutcher.
That 70s show. All day.
He also says That 70s Show. Justin Long.
Oh, I mean, the first one that came to my head is Die Hard 5.
Yep, he's right here. Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, damn it. Or is that Die Hard 4?
I think that's Die Hard 4, but he's also written Dodgeball. So, yeah, that's a good
show. Yeah.
Yeah, so unfortunately, that's the other one we've got from this. Oh, actually, I was going to read Alec Baldwin, the bad guy from The Cat in the Hat, was Dale's suggestion, which is weird because then he's written Mike Myers, Austin Powers, even though Mike Myers was The Cat in the Hat.
What a bad movie that is.
The interesting one is David Schwimmer, Melman from Madagascar, was their choice rather than being from Friends.
It's Ross from Friends, you maniac.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for on this edition of the podcast. Tell us who Alec Baldwin is to you on this very specific email topic. support@wrestletalk.com. Thank you all so much for listening. I'm back tomorrow with Denise. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.